Let me read just four verses in chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. That's our text tonight. It begins with wherefore. A real wise preacher told me years ago that when we see a wherefore, we need to scratch our heads and check and see what the wherefore is there for. So, why would you think the wherefore is there? It looks back to all of chapter 11, where they began by faith and finished by faith. The great heroes, these good folks, human, every one of them as we are, same feelings, same kinds of problems, same ups and downs, same disappointments, sorrows and griefs, same victories. They ran their assigned race with patience and endured to the end. When I was a young soldier, I enlisted in the Army to be a paratrooper. Actually, my friend talked me into that. I never would have done it. And so, we went in together. We were going to stay together. See, we enlisted in the buddy plan. And the idea was that we would stay together throughout our whole Army career. Well, we went to Little Rock, and we took our physical, and we took our exam, and they put me on a bus to go to Fort Jackson, South Carolina, for basic training. They put him on a bus and sent him home. Guess what? I didn't get to be with my friend. Well, the Lord was in all of that because it wasn't long till I was going to learn about running a race. We got to Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and got off the bus. And the sergeant fell us in. And he said, "Gentlemen, we're going on a tour of the post. Left face," he said, "double time. March," and away we went, and we ran, and we ran, and we ran, and my tongue was hanging out, and I felt like the next step will be my last step, and I never saw anybody fall out to the side. We were all hurting, we were gasping for breath, and all of a sudden, it's like the gear shifted. And we got what I didn't know then was a second wind. I never knew what that was because I never could run that far before. And we just kept running, and we ran around. But you know, lots of times during that time, I wanted to just stop. I wanted to just flake out and fall out. I'm glad I didn't. I finished it. Thank God, by His mercy, I finished it. We're in a race. Brothers and sisters, it's life. The Lord has called us to Himself to live a life for His name's sake, to honor Him and glorify Him in all that we do and say. Well, it says, we also, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I'm thinking about that. What does that mean? I think as these people ran the race, there was a lot of onlookers. Now, I don't know for sure who this is talking about, but I can imagine that as they went about living their daily life, people were watching every move they make, listening to everything they had to say. And I promise you, maybe I shouldn't say that, I'll just tell you that people are looking and listening to you. They're watching everything you do. They probably know more about you than you know about yourself. I'm sure the angels were watching and looking when they were running their race, their course. So we need to stop and think about it. Look around us tonight. Be aware of your position and the fact that there's many eyes on you. We have the same Savior that they had. Same Lord. We're all different. I'm glad I learned that a long time ago. You know, in the army, they want you to make everybody the same. I had to learn that you can't do that in a church because everybody's different. All different. And the Lord has given us gift according to our abilities, and placed us in the race on earth. Our talents are given to us, and we shall be sure, we shall, when we shall have finished our course, give an account of how we ran the race, how we live our life. I've often wondered, I've told you this a time or two, I visit the cemetery sometimes at my home church back in Arkansas, and I got more folks in that cemetery than I got on the earth. They all gone ahead. And I often wonder if they can see us, if they can watch what we're doing. I don't know if they can or not, but I wonder about that. You know, my dad used to watch over me pretty close. And sometimes I'd be really ashamed if I thought he was looking. I know the Lord Jesus is looking, but if he were looking at me, it would bother me a great deal. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. A lot of things can be said about this. I read a lot of things that people said about it. if we're going to run a foot race, we want to get rid of everything that would hold us back, that would weigh us down. And it's so in this life. Let me say this to you. There are a lot of things in life that God's people have their hands on that may be a real detriment to their Christian life, their running a race. Not that these things are wrong in themselves, but they may hinder you and keep you from doing your best for the Lord's sake. We want to win. Lay aside the weight. Put it away. All our worldly encumbrances, which would clog us down, and also our corrupt selves. Now, I told you today I'd fight with the devil. And I remember the song. Not the preacher nor the deacon, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Thought it to me how desperately I need to fight myself because I still have my sinful self. The Lord Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In the book of Luke, he said, do it daily. He told us, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. And watch this, cares of this life, so that that day come on you unaware. Sometimes just the cares of this life, we let them overwhelm us. We let them push us down and hinder our walk. I believe this scripture is written to preachers, but it's good advice. Paul said to Timothy, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We all know we have to work. We all know it'd be a shame if we didn't. We all know that there are roles to play in our family relationship. Fathers, dads, and husbands have a role. A wife and mother has a role. The children have a role. If you're an employee, you have a role to fill. If you're a boss, a master, you have a role to fill. Still, we run our race. We can do that while we're fulfilling all of these roles that God gives us to fulfill in this life. So, put away the weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. The evil weight inward is the old man, the corrupt nature, which remains in every one of us who believe. You know, we talked about that old man a while ago that left when the woman was caught in adultery. I think he was the first one to recognize he knew that old man was still living in him. That's why Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Thank God our Lord Jesus Christ will deliver us from this body of corruption, from this body of humiliation. I love that song Kathy put together. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we're going to be like Him. But not yet. We're in the race. I think our besetting sin is our own personal iniquity. It kind of sticks to us and cleaves to us even closer than our garments that we wear. It seems to suggest to me that each one of us have a sin that easily besets us. Now let me illustrate what I mean. I think I'm right about this. But if I'm wrong, well, then you can, that's all right. You can take it any way you want to. I think that most of us would not even begin to think of being a drunk or a druggie. I think you wouldn't even give that a second thought. You couldn't be tempted with that. But some people who would never take drugs or drink, their breast is filled with wicked things. Lust for wicked things. We might never be tempted to steal anything or kill someone or commit adultery. But then we have the problem of seething anger and wrath and malice that plagues us all the time. And we cry out to God, why can't I overcome this tongue and this fire that's in my tongue? I think we all have something that could beset us very easily. Any sin does, but some, I think, are more prone than others. Whatever it is, in each one of us, we need to lay it aside. Paul said, mortify, put to death, therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Those things are not there just to take up space. And then let us run with patience the race that's set before us. I was talking about running a while ago. I don't often get off into this kind of stuff, but we would strip off to our t-shirts. We had our GI pants on, our jump boots, because you have to run with jump boots. And you just keep on putting one foot in front of the other. All through life, your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 70s, and if you happen to get to your 80s still, put one foot in front of the other. Our race is marked out in the Scriptures. And you know, no man is crowned except he race lawfully. You can work your fingers to the bone and it not be according to the Scripture. And in my opinion, my mind, you're throwing your life away. That's why it's so important to know what the Word teaches and to follow it. And you're the one that has to know that. You know what? My Aunt Lucy can't live my life for me. Grandma cannot live my life for me. I have my own race to run, according to what I see in the Word of God. The Bible has for us, every one of us, all the answers pertaining to life and godliness. No matter where we are in life, rich, poor, weak, strong, no matter what, we're all instructed how to run the race. And clearly this begins with faith in Christ. It begins after that with baptism. A fellow got on to me not long ago. He said, "Why do you make such an issue about baptism?" He said, "Is baptism going to save you?" I said, "No. A person's not eligible for baptism until he's first saved. He's born of God. He makes a profession of faith in Christ, and then he's baptized. He's immersed in water. And then he follows the Lord in the church." Keep on running with endurance. The Lord will give us strength. No matter what the challenges are, no matter how difficult things become, boy, there are some surprises in Christian life. We've seen some things that you'd never think would ever happen. I heard a fellow talking one time. He said, "I never thought this would ever happen." He said, "We were having a business meeting, and some guys got mad, and they had a fist fight over in the corner of the church during the business meeting." Wow! But there's stuff worse than that happens. And you just, wow. You know, so what? What do? You keep on keeping on. You keep on going. No matter what takes place. You'd hate to see that, wouldn't you? Would it throw you for a flip? Well, it probably would. We encourage ourselves in the Word. We listen to our preacher, and he gives us words of encouragement from God's Word. My, how I thrill as Brother Craig preaches to us God's Word. And I'm just blessed by that again and again and again. It's food for our soul. And it, you know, you don't forget, you don't remember all of the funnies and stuff that people say. That's why we don't have to, we shouldn't do funnies anyway. Preach the Word. The Word's what our food is. Now, as we run our race, verse 2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Our Savior. You know, it was no fun for him to be crucified. It was no fun for him to be despised by the people that he came among. But because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. We may not have all of the joy we'd like as we run our race, but there's joy in the morning when we're finished with this. Praise God. You know, I mean, you stop and think about it. Wow. We're going to reign with Christ 1,000 years and then forever. We're going to live in a city of gold. I see that, I think, every day. The street of gold. The beautiful river of life. The tree of life. And our Savior, God, there in that place. They're the light of that wonderful city. We're going to live there forever. Well, we can put up with a little bit of horseradish in this life. My. The Lord had the joy set before him, and he despised the shame. Now he sat down at the right hand of God. I've noticed that when I began to falter a little bit, if I began to think about my Lord, and I began to consider Him, where He is and what He's done, who He is, the eye of faith helps me. It gives me grace to endure. I don't think any of us are ever going to be called on to face the kind of trouble our Lord faced while He was on earth. I guess the ones that came the closest was the apostles. He said, you're going to be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But few of us have experienced anything like that in all of our lives. Let's keep our eyes on Him as our supreme example and our help in time of trouble. Now, He's the author and the finisher of our faith. What does that mean? That, to me, is a wondrous thought. I'm sorry for the Arminians that may be here, but I can't help it. I have to go back where the Bible goes. We were chosen in Christ before the world was. I love saying that because it's true. Our names were forever inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life from before the foundation of the world. Our salvation was the ultimate end of our election in this world in Christ Jesus. He's chosen us to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. He called us by the gospel. We're chosen in Him before the world, long before we were born physically. I believe we were with Him in some sense. Now, you can have to chew on that a little bit. Our Savior was God's elect servant, the Lamb of God slain from before the foundation of the world. He had designed our salvation. And in coming into the world, He finished the payment for our sins as our substitute on the cross. When He said it was finished, it was finished. Our sins were atoned for. We were reconciled to God by His death. And now we're being saved by His life since He ascended back to the Father. Now, just a thought from the third verse. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Have you ever just stopped to think what He endured? He was constantly opposed by both word and action. He was opposed by His people according to the flesh. He was opposed by the very ones He ministered to. Not opposition. Of Him began at His birth. Herod wanted to kill Him. There was no room in the inn. He was not wanted. It was seen through His early years. We don't know much more about that. But when He began His personal ministry on earth, they opposed all He said. It says, who are you? And He said He was the Christ of God, and they called Him a blasphemer. He derided Him and mocked Him. His teaching was opposed, and His person was insulted. He talked and befriended publicans and sinners, and then He was scoffed at by the religionists of that day. Remember when He dismissed the demons from the man and they told Him that He did it by the prince of devils, Beelzebub. He was accused of speaking against Caesar when he did no such thing. Hardly anything that we can think of through all of his life on earth that he was not opposed. Listen. Don't get weary. Keep on running. One day you're going to run on out of here. Don't fall out. Don't let the world distract you. The biggest distractions are going to come when you find yourself wanting things that you don't need. I've often said to people, want is a bottomless pit. There's no end to it. Oh, I don't say it's wrong for a person to get some things he wants. I wanted a shotgun. I got one. I wanted a pistol and I got a little old cheap one. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life will pull you aside. I like this. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Sometimes we work and sweat and get sore and wish we'd have never done it, and it doesn't gain anything. But this is not in vain, the Lord's work. Stay in church. Encourage the brethren. Be a giver. Now, I'm not talking about your money. I know when you talk to Baptists about money, they all grab their wallet. I'm not talking about that. Just be a giver. Give yourself. Give yourself to help others. Give yourself to be a blessing. And yeah, once in a while, put a few bucks in the box. We need to take care of the preacher. Remember, there's no discharge in this war. Just a quick thought from the fourth verse. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Blessedly true. But we may yet meet with a violent death. Praise be to God, and when they've killed the body, they can do nothing else. We were talking about this the other day, about this nut over in North Korea wants to send missiles to the shores of the U.S. Now, he may do that. But let me encourage you a little bit. If an atomic bomb hit Anchorage, all you'll see is a flash and you're present with the Lord. And you don't have to worry about cutting wood anymore. Not to worry about getting up at 5:30 and going to work, Jonah. Present with the Lord, which is far better. You know, that wouldn't be bad. That wouldn't be bad. I wouldn't have to pick up sticks out of the yard and mow the grass. And wow. I think when it comes that time, you know, it'll make any difference what comes. The Lord's going to be there with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there with you, no matter where you are. I thought about that. I'm 82 years old. But I read in Fox's book about an old preacher. His name was Polycarp. He'd been in Ephesus. He was 86 years old. They tied him to the stake. And they said, "Recant." He said, "The Lord has done nothing but good for me all of these 86 years." And he said, "I'm not going to recant." And they lit the fire and pierced his body, and the blood came out and put out the fire, and they had to rekindle it. What a testimony for this old man, 86 years old. He'd come to the end of his race. He had run it with distinction. He had done a great job. And that day, the Lord met him there in that place when he would not deny him at age 86. May it be so with us. Don't you even think about falling out. You keep on running. God bless you. Thank you so much. Any comments?